This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Scale of that to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Holy shit, I am so excited, and I refuse to hide it. You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast in the whole fucking world. What a treat for your stupid little ears. Why am I negging? I'm Mono Gapian. I am so overjoyed to be joined by drag superstar, stunning makeup. Alina, I mean, truly, 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 her makeup, I'm gonna say top three makeup I have ever personally seen in wow. In the drag space. I am the versatility. It's Creme Fatale.
Hi, I don't disagree with that intro.
I'm glad you don't, because then we would have a fight. Then we would start fighting.
Well, I like how you started off like introing, bullying people listening to your podcast and continuing to listen, which fucking, I'm on board with.
Yeah, you fucking bugs. Listen to my fucking drag opinions.
Put it in your stupid little ears.
Graham, I know of you through the Instagram and other internet applications. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about your journey into drag. I'm just so curious. What brought you to drag?
Mostly, I like to say, power-hungry, creative control. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said this on, a few different, interviews and things before, but, I really wanted to, branch out and do things, but I was, I grew up, a chubby Latina that mm-hmm. had a lot of body issues and issues expressing themselves mm-hmm. and kind of forcing myself to do theater school. And I went to theater school after college to kind of do an immersion therapy for myself, where I was forced to put myself out there mm-hmm. and then discovering, I love performing, but I still feel really awkward within myself, and I also hate listening to direction. Uh-huh. And I need creative control. I need to be able to control how I look, how I sound, how I portray a character. And when you do acting stuff, you don't get to control much of that because the director, everybody around you is forcing you to do different things. And then I discovered drag, and I didn't really discover, I already knew of it because I grew up, mm-hmm. In the 90s with RuPaul. I knew who RuPaul was mm-hmm. since I was born. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't know if women could do that. Looked it up, and I was like, wait, I'm in San Francisco. San Francisco is the epicenter of women who have been doing drag for mm-hmm. decades. I can actually do this. And then started doing it, and it allowing myself to become a different character physically really was the thing that changed my whole life and brought me out of my shell. And it's been wow. almost 10 years. It's 10 years next year.
I relate to so much of what you're saying, being chubby, brown, Middle Eastern myself, but I everything you're saying about your journey, I relate to. And I do some crunchy drag, and what I'm experimenting with and trying to overcome is I have a fear. I have a fear of losing touch with reality. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or there's some part of entering drag that scares me because I have to feel. Mm-hmm. And I think being a fun little damaged queer kid, whatever, mm-hmm. it taught me to run away from feelings. Because feelings, you know? So mm-hmm. it's interesting. Did you have to overcome that fear of feeling?
It was definitely a whole feeling of shame for me. Mm-hmm. When you grow up a little chubbier, you're you feel a lot of shame about your own body, whether or mm-hmm. not it's your own family. My parents and stuff like didn't enforce that, but like outside family, you know how like families could be like, oh, like they give you nicknames that like mean chubby, like those kind of things. And like absolutely. People bring it up all the time. And it's like, it's supposed to be a loving way, but it really like fills you with a lot of like self-consciousness.
Absolutely.
And when it was like, especially like me as a woman, like seeing big, like fat drag queens, like being incredible, like women dressing however they want and being confident, like that gave me the confidence to be like, wait a minute, I look fine.
Like, yeah,
I can do whatever I want actually. And like subscribing to a totally different narrative of what physicality and beauty is versus like what I had been brought up with in like our American like pop culture, which is just like thin, you know. It was like I grew up in like the Y2K era, so it was like very like
it was just thin
low rise jeans, like skinny like
ass wasn't even in yet.
It was ass was in, but not to the extent that it was now. Like
no,
see the asses that were celebrated back then compared to the ones now. It's like, wait, where is the booty? Like, it's right. Like, you know, like
even toxic shows like The Swan, like toxic shows like The Swan.
I watched it when I was too. Like, a child.
Me
like,
too. But even back then, horrible. The horrible things they say to these women, and they're just you're a witch, so we're going to make you not a witch. Back then, too, the body plan was biggest tits possible, and there was no focus on any other body part because it was the early aughts where it was just like, no, just be skinny with giant tits. That's all we want.
A cake pop, essentially.
Come on, Starbucks. I really relate to that. Yeah, 100%. Yes, thickness, beauty. And, you know, I just want to remind, you know, I also was around family members, like, who were just like, oh, you're still fat. Why? Yeah. Why? Why are you still fat?
Oh, hey, chubby.
Yeah, they're just like, and they like, it's so casual in some cultures, Greek and Middle Eastern, it's very casual. They're like, you should not be that. You should think about not being that. And you're like, awesome. Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's like in a very loving, quote unquote, way, but then you're like, doesn't feel good to be called fat. Yeah.
And just to add some more self-love, you know, when you see people who have absorbed negative self-image messages and they try so hard to change themselves, they genuinely become less beautiful because you can tell they're trying to make their body do something their body doesn't want to do.
Literally miserable energy.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's not good. It's not good. It's tough.
I do have an issue, though. I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, please.
Speaking
call me out.
Being a Latina woman, your comments about Tajin in the last episode, they were borderline racist, honestly.
I'm so sorry. You're saying because I don't endorse putting tahini on fruit.
You said, but fruit be fruit. And I was like, excuse me? Is this the 2016 election again?
Oh my God. Like, it's like lower the border on your fruit. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Honestly, first off, you don't like a little salty and sweet? Action. It's so good. I'm obsessed with Jada's tahini usage because as a kid, I was also just like literally just eating tahini by itself. Like the
really?
Sauce.
Oh, but that's cute.
I would put it in like a little bowl thing and then just like put my tongue in there and like put the little spice. I just like love it. I still have it. I have like the Costco size like tahini. So I am Jada solidarity with the
coffee. I love it. Well, I used to do that with the Arabic tahin, which is za'atar. If you've ever had that, it's just like a spice mix. But yeah, I need to change my ways because
it's good. It's good on carrots too.
I actually do kind of like it on mango. I kind of like it on mango.
Kind of.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Just say it.
I am the problematic like homophobic jock who's like clearly in love with his like teammate, and I'm like fighting the inevitable love I have for it. Something.
Just give
it off of me. Yeah, I need to give in to tahini for time.
I mean, nobody ever says anything about peanut butter and apples being a thing.
Right.
Peanut butter and tahini.
Wait, really?
I mean, not peanut butter and tahini, apples and tahini.
Okay, that
peanut
okay.
butter and tahini is a little weird. That I will say, I don't think that'll be good.
You don't endorse. Okay, okay,
no,
okay.
Apples and tahini.
And then people are going to come and try to cancel you, the tahini well, and peanut butter people.
You know, listen, after this, I'm going to try it. I'll let you know how it goes.
There might be something there. There might be. Do you put it on the sweet, like gummy stuff too? Because I know
I've
that's
tried
big.
It on the gummy stuff. Yeah, I've done that myself. It's like very tart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love sour. I love anything that makes my mouth water. I'm like a vinegar like based thing addict. Like I love like a tart sour flavor, but that even was like making my mouth pucker to the point that it was like hurting.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like it.
It's a lot of flavor. We're going to say this multiple times, but let's go ahead and plug. Where can we come support you and where can we throw you a tip, Krem?
Oh my gosh. Instagram at Krem Patel, TikTok at Krem Patel, my Twitter it's at Fatel_Krem because they deleted my account.
Oh God, what?
At like 30,000 or 40,000 followers.
Fucked.
I know, because I posted one video with Carly Rae Jepsen music and they came for me.
You're
and
kidding.
Destroyed my life. Yeah, and then I did the whole like Twitter like email them thing, and then they were like, "Oh, we don't know anything about that. Sorry." And I was like, "Yeah, you do. You disabled my account anyway."
Yes, you fucking do.
You do. Venmo at Krem Patel if you feel like it. I also have Etsy Krem Patel merch where I have lots of amazing merch, and I have merch on Drag Queen merch too. So
amazing! Also, we're gonna put all those links in the pod description below.
Yes.
Yes. Hell yeah!
I'm just like. So distracted by Jada's like spiked look from last week. It's
so
just,
fucking good.
The makeup and the hair, it's
incredible.
Insane. Like I
the
can't
artistry.
Get over it. Truly. As somebody who does like multicolor faces all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that it just looks I just can't even. I
That's
can't
a hard
it.
Thing
it's
to do.
Gorgeous. Yeah. It's insanely gorgeous. She nailed it. I'm like falling in love with her even more this season. Because I feel like watching her season, like you get her and you're like, oh yeah, I love her. She's great. And then she's just so fun and goofy and cute.
I mean, her runways, everyone's doing great, but I would say cumulatively, she might have the best batting average on the runway.
Yeah, her and Raja.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. Yeah, I'm here for that.
I'm obsessed with Raja's looks this season. Like I would wear everything that she's worn on that runway.
How do you feel about some of the online boot controversies, you know, of her looks getting booted and then the gays saying, we will burn this building down?
Listen, I kind of agree.
Okay, work!
I kind of agree with burning the building down a little bit. I just find it funny a little bit that, like, queens that have very specific body conscious, thin, very similar skinny silhouettes are booting things that are not a form-fitting silhouette. I just like, listen, I like to take up space. I like to be a blob. I
Hell
like
yeah.
shapes that are not shapes. I like, you know, I love a good like body conscious, like little look, but I love like unusual shapes and clothing. And that Raja has been bringing so much of that like energy. It's not just like a tight, like body fitting, like gown situation. It's just like real fashionable shapes, drapery, like things. And I'm just like, why is this being booted? It's so good. It's like,
yeah,
it just looks so, she makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
She's incredible. I know she's gone on, first of all, she's 47 and she looks so fucking amazing. And I know she's gone on record saying like, girl, I am not, I am expressing myself in a different way now. I'm not going to be just naked because hello, this is a new expression of drag. I'm trying to be as comfortable and as expressive as I can be in drag. And it's not going to be me just wearing skin tight stuff anymore. Sorry.
Even though she totally could.
She's still so totally good.
But this, like, the shape, it just looks like it's effortless. It looks effortless, but it's not. We know it's not because she's obviously putting so much thought into it. But the way that everything just drapes on her body is perfection. I think the boots are unwarranted. Like, you know, obviously they're doing it to cause a little stir,
they're causing the drama, and that's fun.
Yeah, but come on.
She's
at least
so,
pick somebody where it makes sense.
innovative. And I love that Raja agree. Jinx. Look, Jinx is one of the most talented queens in the world, but she's quite bootable amongst this cast.
Oh, she looks really great for her.
Yes. I genuinely am here for that. And I was also going to say, I don't know, Raja's wild. And she really is about what she says she is, where she's like mixing weird. She like mixes a traffic cone and a napkin and a sandwich to make something new, completely new and weird.
Oh, yeah, totally.
How are you enjoying? I am here for it. How are you enjoying the season as a whole?
Oh my God, I'm having probably the most fun I've had watching Drag Race since like All Stars 2.
Yeah.
I haven't felt this like, I like love the show obviously like for a long time, but like I haven't felt this type of like joy watching it for such a long time. And this like really like, this is making me fall in love with the show all over again. Mm-hmm. Like full disclosure, I haven't even caught up to any of the seasons. Like I'm finishing 12 now. So I haven't watched 13, I haven't watched 14. I haven't watched any of the internationals yet just because it was so much that I was like so overwhelmed. Much. I was like, I'm trying to catch up. So I will get there. But I was like so overwhelmed with so many franchises.
Girl.
Yeah.
You are buried. Like we are all buried in drag content. So I don't know if you ever will fully catch up because as soon as you think you caught up.
It'll be another one.
Drag Race Luxembourg just pops up and it's like, now all episodes streaming, go watch it now.
Yeah. And it's like, especially for drag queens, like how are we supposed to like do drag and like have our jobs and like keep up with like 87 seasons of Drag Race? It's so hard.
Which queen, you go ahead. It's so fun.
So fun.
Which queen here are you the most, okay, let's say you're in the workroom. What queen are you the most intimidated by? Or do you want to block the most?
Jinx.
Yeah.
she's
the answer.
She's so funny.
She's so
funny. There's just like no, and watching her this season is so much fun because her first season was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
It was so hard to watch because of, you know, everything that was going on. And obviously, like, that's resolved between the queens now and they're all, like, friends, blah, blah, blah. But that season was really hard to watch for such, like, the whole end half of that season that she was on. It was, like, really hard to watch because of all, like, you know, the bullying and the nagging. And her spirit was, like, getting broken throughout the entire thing.
And it's interesting because that's when Drag Race wasn't, it's definitely pre-social media Drag Race.
Yeah. There was not a whole lot of awareness.
Yeah.
of how things would be perceived later, which I miss. I miss.
I do too. I miss it greatly.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I fell out with Drag Race in the first place is like I started to notice like a lot of the queens would mention like how they would be perceived after the season. Mm-hmm. And it was like ruining the fantasy for me almost of a competition is like being too focused on what and how they would be perceived on social media once filming was over and what hashtags they could create and what their catchphrases would be. It was just like they were overproducing themselves.
It started with season 7, in my opinion, where people like came in locked and loaded with catchphrases. I was like, oh God.
Listen, season 7 is one of my favorite seasons because it's such a disaster. Shakespeare Challenge is my favorite challenge of all time.
I mean,
I can watch
I'm the real prima donna. Miss Lakeisha Quiana. It is I love train wrecks. So yes, I will watch.
I love it. But yeah, the overproducing, I think I noticed it like more and more, like I would say like season 10, it became really obvious, like really, really obvious. And then from then it just got like out of control, but I'm getting back into it. But this season just feels like they've already won. They've got nothing to lose. Like, regardless of whether or not they don't win, they're already winners and that nothing's ever going to take that away from them. So they're kind of coming in here with like, I just want to show how much I've grown since my season. I want to like show off all these things that I didn't get to do in my season because I was being maybe held back by people that weren't as talented in these challenges. And now they get to just like have fun. There's like no risk. There's risk, but there's almost like no risk, you know? So they're just like having fun and it's like the energy is really light, I feel like.
Yeah. It's been really interesting and like no one it's introducing a new kind of Drag Race narrative like you're saying because it's like there's not about who's shitting the bed. mm-hmm. really no one's shitting the bed. It's just the weird thing of like someone got an A plus over the other A's this week.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fascinating.
I'm almost like curious like what it would be like if they had a Drag Race season with like newcomers that was like this, okay. as opposed to like getting yes. rid of them.
Yes.
I just feel like it would be like, I don't know. I feel like it'd be almost better because they would be able to actually like fully express themselves without the fear of like humiliation. And
I've
like,
pitched this before of like, you're saying almost like a Drag Race where they can't bring anything or they're new to drag. All like, you know what I mean? Is it all of the above?
No, like a Drag Race season where they like cast it normally, but nobody like goes home and nobody uh-huh. gets eliminated.
Got
so
it.
They don't have the fear of like going home. So they don't have that like added pressure. And
right.
they're just there to show off the talents that they do have.
Uh-huh.
Because so often like we see people get eliminated for things that they're not necessarily good at, which mm-hmm. is like, I guess the point of the show. But like, it's just so much fun to see like people interact and show off talents with like no pressure of like being humiliated. By the way, I love this. Like we're watching this right now. This like Jada and her little xylophone looking like a little goblin. I just, it's so funny.
So funny. And another source of controversy, because, you know, Vivian got the assist with the xylophone last week.
Uh-huh.
That some people are saying was like, what? You can't have a sister hand you a prop.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
it's like Alaska pulling that like American flag out of her wig on her. Like,
totally.
Posters, remember? Like,
oh yeah.
You can do stuff. I guess you just have to like think of it. If nobody else has thought of it, then that's the
right.
problem. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had many a prop. This is the first time I guess we've had an assist on a prop, but it's you still brought the damn thing to do the gig. I think. And then it's up to Rue if she likes it or not. Because it's
it could
sometimes
fail.
A prop fails. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, like, yeah, I don't care about that. Like in All Stars 4, which it made me laugh, but like when Trinity did like the old lady drag, like floppy tit old lady drag for like one of the lip syncs.
Oh, for the lip syncs, yeah.
Yeah, it was like her versus Latrice. And she didn't win. You know, they didn't like it. Which, not to say that you can take a risk and sometimes you just have to accept the consequence.
Mm-hmm. Shangela in the fat suit, like.
But I think she. Yeah, what do we think about that? Was that body shamey or good fun?
I just think it wasn't even like, if it was body shamey and like funnier, it would have been mm-hmm. fine. But it was like body shamey and like not funny. I think that mm-hmm. was the issue.
That's like, the issue.
I can laugh at a little body shaming, having right. through it myself, but like it has to be funny. Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to laugh at our trauma.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into this main challenge and the drama of the two star, win a star, give a star thing.
Mm-hmm.
But first, silence, Creme. I feel like taking a break. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But Now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Bring back my break. Okay, we're back with Krem. Before we dig right back into this episode, I have to ask, Krem, do you have any interest or passion in attempting to be on the Drag Race TV show?
Well, full disclosure, I have applied in the past.
Uh-huh.
This is pre-season 10. So I applied maybe twice.
Uh-huh.
And glad I did not get on, but also I would have, I think, fit in better in one of the past casts with my drag style, because I feel like since that time, there's been a lot of similar styles on there.
Okay.
Have like started later. Mm-hmm. Not that I have a totally unique style, but like, you know, drag styles get regurgitated. And I feel like what I do may not be as fresh as what they're looking for anymore, because I have a solidified character that is a certain way. But I don't know. We'll see. The new contract scares me. So
sure. That's
tea. I started drag because I wanted to have total creative ownership, and like, doesn't seem like you have that with the new contract. And
it sure doesn't.
That's what prevented me from applying any further. They loosened it up a little. I don't want to be attached to a character for 10 years and then sell it to a company that I have no control over. So.
Yeah. It's incredibly wise of you to protect your investment, your art in that way. And it is tough that, there's such a severe contract, you know?
It's like a catch-22 almost, because in drag, like, you have to, it's like people anticipate that you're only doing drag these days to get on the show in the first place. It's that's like the base of like, not what people who do drag do, but people who are Drag Race fans, people who are drag fans in general, they think that the end goal for every single drag artist was to be on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like part of the issue, because they think that we're only doing this to get on TV. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, and I have had people actually literally tell me, dozens of people, that they're only following me because I'm going to be on Drag Race one day. And I'm like, okay, what? So who told you that? Because I have not applied in
who
like
told you?
4 years. Uh-huh. Like literal people like saying like they're waiting for me to get on Drag Race. It's like very like lots of people that follow me and don't support me and like merch buying or show up to the shows because they're waiting for me to be on Drag Race first so that they can say that they follow
That's
me beforehand.
So weird.
It's like this entire like really weird, super like messed up way to look at supporting artists, because a lot of people only support artists that have been on the show.
As
a drag queen, as a character that's been doing this for like 10 years, I have goals, I have dreams and aspirations, and not a lot of them are being on the show. But it part of me is like really scared, because it's like such a risk when you're not on the show to do all these endeavors and like not know if people are going to support you because you haven't been on TV. So
right.
It's a total like conundrum. I don't know.
It is a conundrum because, like, they are controlling such a gigantic queer stage.
Yeah.
But I think as drag grows in popularity and other TV shows pop up, I mean, you don't need TV to be successful. Clearly, you already have so many followers. But it's very foolish that, like, drag fans are... What capital do they have in following you before you get on X show? Like, I don't even understand.
I don't know. Just to have like a Reddit. Just to be on Reddit and be like, she hasn't posted in 3 months. And I'm like, it's because I moved, babe. Yeah.
Did you watch when we had our first AFAB queen, Miss Victoria Scawn, on the UK season?
I did not, because I haven't caught up yet, like I said, on all the seasons, but I was like watching the little clips and stuff and saw that it was like a mixed reception. Like people that like actually watched her on the show, like really loved her. And then people like also just hated her because she was a woman, which is not a surprise.
Right.
And like, you know, great.
Misogyny. I mean, what a shock.
Kudos to her for taking the brunt of it, because whoever was the first woman on the franchise was going to be like, was going to take a massive hit. Mm-hmm. And part of me did not want that to be me. Thank you, Victoria Scone, for taking the brunt of most of it. But I feel like even then, so the first woman on, if ever, on the American version of Drag Race is still going to not have a very fun time. And I feel like since that, you know, stuff, like if that were ever to be me, I don't think I would care as much because I don't really have much to lose.
I mean, you want to talk, we were already talking about pain, and a new fun thing I'm confronting is sometimes pain is just pain. Mm-hmm. Pain doesn't have to be anxiety. It doesn't have to be stress. It doesn't have to be self-judgment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you like stub your toe on the damn bed. It doesn't have to become like it's like very Buddhist. I'm like trying to wrap my brain around it. My therapist is helping me through this, but trying to confront the fact that just you know, experiencing pain does not have to then control other parts of your well-being.
Yeah, totally. I feel like now that I've like gotten older and grown in my drag character, I don't really care about criticism as much.
Yeah.
Like full disclosure, like young people listening to this, but I just turned 30.
Work.
In fall. So I'm just like in my new era of like being 30 and hot and rich. So like, I'm like in my like new era of like, I have a really well-paying job. I have a beautiful apartment. I'm married. Like I'm in this like totally
fuck
other zone.
Yeah.
Like if I were on like Drag Race, let's say in my like earlier 20s where I was like broke and lonely and like, you know, then a totally different space where I was like struggling, that I would have taken that criticism like really hard. But like having this personal success in my life outside of drag gives me a little bit more of that like confidence to be like, if I were to go on that show, if I were to receive criticism from anybody, if I do receive criticism now, it doesn't really affect me because like, what does that have to do with my everyday life? I'm doing fine, babe.
Totally, babe. It's like, and babe, if Roger Gemini is getting booted, you know,
yeah, like what hope is there? I mean,
right. It's like, you might as well, it's inevitable.
Yeah,
critiques,
it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. So you might as well put your shit out there anyways. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I really like, I've been doing like this series because I just moved and I've been like redoing my whole like, you know, space and apartment. And this is like just the peek into like what is beginning to be my drag room now.
It's stunning. I wish y'all could see it.
Yeah. There's like a huge banner of me behind me.
You look great. And there's a lot of gorgeous hair. There's lighting kits. It's everything you want.
Yeah. Lots of amazing wigs by Tips, who's been doing a lot of Jinx's wigs this season.
That's
my
wigs
drag mom.
By Tips.
Wigs
okay.
By Tips, made by my drag mother, Laundry Time of San Francisco.
Work.
I plug her every chance that I get, and I regret it now because she doesn't have time to do my wigs. I just texted her. I was like, do you have time to do wigs for me? She's like, sorry, I have Drag Race Girls for the next month. And I was like, ah!
Damn.
But yeah, it's just like, I've been doing like, you know, rating looks from my past, and somebody commented like, they all look the same to me. And I was like, it's called having a character, babe.
Girl. There was another recent Drag Race season where it's, oh, in fact, it was Drag Race España. This isn't a spoiler, but someone was like, they were like, you do the same drag every time. And then this bitch who is so fierce, she was like, it's called consistency, babe.
Yeah.
It's called consistency. And yep. She, in fact, because, you know, Spain, she was like, when paella has rice every time, you don't say, oh, I wish there wasn't rice. You say, it's paella. It needs rice every time.
Oh, my God. Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. I love that.
I love her. Yeah, she was a fucking fierce trans queen from that season who took no prisoners. And it was so fun to, again, like we're saying, like, see this evolving current on trans, femme, AFAB queens versus the classically gay male dominated drag world.
Mm-hmm.
Change is coming, baby. It's
here.
I mean,
and they're sweeping the rug. I mean, they're sweeping up the competition.
100%.
Like, that's what they were afraid of this whole time.
That's it. That's it. Hey, girl, sit your patriarchy down and shut the fuck up, bitch. You know?
Exactly.
So we're talking draguation speeches. I'll go ahead and scrub towards those draguation speeches. We can give our opinions on it. What do you think of this challenge as a whole?
I thought it was pretty cute. I think that obviously a huge majority of like Drag Race viewers are like younger high school age children, mm-hmm. or young adults, mm-hmm. College kids. So I think something like this is actually kind of meaningful because they're getting like these inspirational words that are like, yeah, sprinkled with like humor, but actually speak to the audience that's watching it and at any age really, but like specifically for those young impressionable youths, that this is like really something that can actually give them a little bit of confidence.
I agree. I'm at first I was like, ugh, just be funnier. And then I calmed my ass down and I was like, no, they did a really good job.
And then you
like
started tearing up. You're like,
yeah.
I really needed that. Yeah.
Even the advice of fuck a lot. I was like, that's good advice. That is great advice. I think they did a pretty amazing job. For my taste, I'm going to love the funnier queens a little bit more, but I don't know. Some people, you know, no. Once again, no one did bad.
Yeah, totally. I think like Raja's character of the cult leader, when she said that in the workroom, I was like, yes, absolutely.
100%.
Like I'm obsessed with cults and like what causes them, cult leaders. Like I do a lot of like podcast research, reading like
cults.
Into cults. Like I'm obsessed. Like the way that people are obsessed with true crime, that's me, but with like cults because I like, you know, love it. And I was like, this is like actually perfect. Like who better than to deliver a commencement speech than a cult leader who has like,
ooh.
And yeah, it's
so it Mary so fuck bad. Kill these cults. Mary fuck kill. Rajneeshis, Heaven's Gate, and Nexium.
Oh my God. Okay, kill Nexium. Because
so
it's just like
up.
Not it's like fucked up, but also like it's not high level, babe. Like it was just a simple operation. Like do better. Like be more manipulative. Like do something better. It just like wasn't interesting enough. Mary Heaven's Gate, because that was the first cult that I ever learned about.
I remember the news.
I remember the news. Yes, and I was like a little kid, and that like the image of like all of the sneakers and the beds like mm-hmm. made such an impression on me. Like a cult.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's where it all stems from.
And you could go to their little weird website. I remember that, like going to their website and being like,
and
whoa.
It still exists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And then, you know, fuck Rajneeshi. So.
Yeah, they fucked a lot too. So that's perfect.
They did.
They
so
loved.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, oh my God, that footage of them just being like, whoa. Oof,
it's insane.
So Monet did a cute job balancing it. She puts herself first. Of course, there's some drama with the order of it all, but she does good at opening the show. So I think opening the show is fun, personally.
Yeah, I think opening the show is really fun. I think it puts less pressure on you, actually, to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the end of it, people will have mostly forgotten you if you were bad anyway. Mm-hmm. But she did fine. It wasn't like totally memorable for me.
It wasn't.
I love the look that she had. It was just overall like a good, it was solid, but it, like comparison to like everybody else's. It was,
yeah. I would definitely, if I was there, I would have been like, just punch a little bit more, a few more jokes harder. And cause like some
I'm
of the jokes they loved.
To remember them. Yeah.
Yeah. They were just very bottom barrel fisting gay bar jokes. And I was like, you can do better, Monet. You're funnier than that.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of what everybody else tended to have in their speeches was a little bit of a sentimental, aspect to them. And I found that hers didn't really have one as much. Whereas yeah. like Trinity's speech, which was like funny in like the way that she delivers comedy, the part mm-hmm. about her like quitting school to like
yeah.
take care of her grandparent was like, so like I was tearing up and I was like, oh, it's so cute. And then she added like the little humor into it. And I'm not normally a huge like Trinity's humor fan. Her brand of funny isn't like, it isn't, you know, super right. to me, but I thought that was really cute and really sentimental and like made a big impact. Yeah.
It's very, I'm plastic. Might as well let your kids slide down me. I'm a slide. I'm Trinity. It is just my goal to impersonate Trinity every week, no matter what, no matter how bad it is. there has to be a new usage of plastic.
My mom is a Trinity fan. My actual birth mother, not drug, my mother uh-huh. is a huge Trinity fan. So
I think she's
loving it.
She is a conundrum to me because she is good at Drag Race. She is doing good. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I'm like, I just don't want her to win. And that's, it's not, I just don't want her to win. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Shay did a great job balancing it all. I'm trying to remember what sentimental sweet thing she did, but she had some great jokes. Oh my God. Just calling out John Hughes films for having no
black people. Yeah. That was the best part. That was like the funniest part. I screamed.
Yeah.
I scrumped. Yeah.
And it's so her point of view comedically, you know, it's like, it gives you that authenticity as well as just a hard joke.
Mm-hmm.
Love, 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 love. Okay, I guess next, who's our next evil witch after Trincher T? We have, of course, Miss Raja.
I thought Raja's character choice was really funny. I didn't quite think her speech was like as funny.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like her delivery could have been punched up way more.
Mm-hmm. There were a few times she was in her cards too much. It was like, get out of the cards.
Yeah, I feel like she needed to be a little bit more like, goofy to deliver the character a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was like kind of like halfway there, but like it seemed like she was like in her head about how to deliver it more than she was in the moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I like the choice.
I like the choice too. She's not she's so genuinely unafraid to fuck up or mm-hmm. try something weird for her. And you know RuPaul loves that because RuPaul mm-hmm. loves someone who is so willing to look dumb. Mm-hmm. she did it. I definitely liked some of her jokes. I thought the list, you know, just the list of it all. It was like, that's a smart, easy joke delivery system.
Yeah.
To be like, here are five pieces of information. I was like, okay, okay, I like this.
Yeah,
but she wasn't my top two. She was so close, but she wouldn't be my top two if I was there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's tough. But I'm like happy she won because I'm like, Raja needs to win something because I would have given her Snatch Game.
Oh, I would have given her Snatch Game 100%. I thought she was going to be in the top and I am still resentful. She would have won the ball too had I have a way
know.
To make her... Olivia and John Waters.
Talk
and she had like done no wig mm-hmm. and done the slick back, like kind of bald looking hair.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously made the mustache thicker. I think it would have worked. I don't even think it was like about the outfit or like the quality of it or how it looked. That would have been fine because that's what the outfit and grease looked like. But mm-hmm. if she had done like a bald illusion, like with the mm-hmm. receding hair, like John Waters actually looks like.
Totally.
And I think that would have like totally brought it, especially with like the feminine silhouette.
Yes.
And the nails and everything. But if she had like the bald head with the,
yes.
you know, receding hairline and like obviously the thicker mustache so we could identify it, that would have brought her over the
pitch.
Edge.
I agree. Yeah. That's a great pitch. And it also is just like that funny, it's funny and uncanny to see John Waters' head on a feminine shape.
Yeah. I think that would have like taken her to the top and she would have had two stars by now if she had won Snatch Game 2.
Damn. Damn. We have Miss Jada next. Jada's not the best at this challenge.
Well, she made me cry laugh in one portion where she says, like, you're all alive, and this would be really awkward if you weren't, or something like that. And that was just, like, the way that she delivers, like, little quips like that are, uh-huh. like, so dumb, but so cute and, like, funny and, like, unexpected. I was just, like, it just threw me off, and I was just, like,
yeah.
laughing. I didn't even hear the rest of her speech because I was still caught up on that line.
It was a good use of look over there. I was into that, but you know, not that it matters, but like, yeah, it was probably one of my least favorites. Again, still yeah. Totally good, totally cute, just like maybe not the strongest.
Yeah, not the strongest.
I really Miss Evie.
Yes, I really love the pratfall and like the dropping all of the cards. Mm-hmm. And she definitely does get points for like doing it without the cards and actually remembering the speech.
Right.
I mean, obviously nobody else like really did that. And she really like took it to heart. And
it could have been edited out, but I wanted her to then do a joke about like, thank you. And that's all, that is my time here at the oh shit. You know, I kind of wanted a joke with the cards are out in the wrong order, but maybe there was there and it was edited out.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. I thought she did like really well in her.
Yeah.
Her like speech is definitely like a very, I mean, to everybody, it applies to everyone. It applies to like literally every single person. Like you all have, I mean, we all have to like fail to find out what it is that we're good at. So yep. I thought she did a really good job at delivering funny and like sentimental.
I did too. I was quite pleased. I thought she possibly could have been in the top three, two, whatever. I thought she did really good. I like, the failure message was real. There were still great jokes. I love it. And just like, oh, well, you'll see this, but on when Taraji P. Henson visits on a recent season, she's very inspiring. And she says, all the no's got me here. And it's a really amazing thing to be like, damn, even someone as iconic as Taraji has heard a lot of no's in her career.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's such a good message. She did really well. I just like, honestly, I think she should have a star by now because she killed that improv challenge as a big bug wolf. I think she did.
You liked it. Killed it. I'm the only one who didn't like her improv. So I'm just saying that for the record.
I mean, she stayed in the moment. She was in both of the sketches. She was always on character. Like she might have not had like the funniest quips, but she kept the momentum going in every single one. And that's so hard to do when you
that
have to like, you, it, everybody was relying on her to bring it forward. Because if she fucked up, it would have messed up both the sketches and everybody would have been thrown off, but she didn't.
And that's a very good point.
She deserves props for that.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Imagine if she had fucked up, it would have ruined it all for everybody.
Right. That's like that's that the team element, the team support aspect of improv, which is like you need that constant for the joke to pop. You know, you need that kind of constant back and forth. Jinx. I mean, come on.
Do we even have to say it?
No.
She's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. She had this like story element, which was both truthful and hilarious. And then it became a runner and a callback and everything else.
I mean, the way that she goes from like this, like really, she goes from like 0 to 100 and it makes me laugh every single time. Just from the like talking like Jinxy into screaming about something. It's like, every time it gets me, I laugh every single time.
It's like really funny.
Scream, like, I got hit by a fucking car. Like, I was screaming laughing. It was so funny. She just knows she knows how to deliver.
Every time. Incredible. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, like, it is so fun to see her this season go from the unsure but talented weirdo to the confident alien that she is today, which is just like, I'm a freak and I love it.
I mean, I've been around her, like working around her when I started doing drag, actually.
Oh, cool.
I used to volunteer, you know, Peaches Christ.
Yes.
This amazing show. So I used to volunteer love for Peaches Christ and, you know, hand out, what do you call it, programs at the shows and stuff like that. So I would be around like Jinx pretty often because she would do Peaches Christ shows pretty often. And her talent in person is like, incredible. Like her voice booms, which is like, if you had watched her original season, she was so like, you know, meek and like, you know, just kind of like torn down. Her in person, she is like a phenom, like just an absolute superstar. Like I can't. She's like the James Earl Jones of drag. Like her presence and her voice are just like,
She's insane. Good at everything. She's good at writing, performing, singing, roasting. It's insane.
She's so good. She was born to do drag.
Absolutely. I love it. Oh, well, I forgot. We need to silence, my dear. We need to take another break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Bring back my break. We are almost done talking this challenge because we have our final contestant, the Vivian, coming as a drunk, hot, shitty mess.
Okay, so again, I have not watched her season because I haven't watched the UK season, but I've been really like impressed with her on this season. She's just so funny.
She's funny.
Kind of like what was addressed in this episode. Like the only real like competition she has, like, you know, as far as improv and comedy is Jinx, because she's the only one that can like touch her sphere of how great she is.
100%.
Yeah.
Love their little comedy rivalry. It's hilarious and wild to watch.
I want to see them like team up and do something together eventually after this, because I feel like they work so well with each other.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
They're
both
so quick. They're so quick.
They're so good.
Peaches, Christ. Peaches, if you're listening. The Vivian and Jinx, we need something with them together.
Yes, that's a genius idea.
That would be so good.
What is it? Is it a Hocus Pocus? Like, is it an unofficial Hocus Pocus sequel?
You know what they would be really good in?
What?
Beaches.
I live.
Right?
What if it was, oh my God, what if it was Romy and Michelle's funeral reunion? I mean, They're incredible. And Vivian, okay, a drunk character can be corny. And
oh, it's so overdone. And
it can be corny
like,
and overdone.
Funny. Yeah, I was and like, this is not going to be funny.
Fresh, funny, stupid, perfectly performed, perfectly paced. It was everything. It was everything you
like,
want.
She remains just charismatic. And so, like, she has such charisma. In the way that she delivers things, that it's like not overused. It's not overdone. It's like, it feels fresh.
Yeah.
I like the fall.
Yeah. Oh my God. The fall was good. And the commitment of just like, stay there. I like that she was like, I'm not moving until a producer drags me off.
I love it.
Oh, it's genius. And it's also an easy way to just keep that laugh going. Just
honestly,
like,
I wish she had gone in the middle and just stayed on the floor the whole time while other people were delivering her speeches.
Genius. God, that would have been great. That would have been incredible. Well, now we're going to chirp and burp these runways, which the category is veils. I forget how Rue phrased it. Veiled it. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Nicole Byer. Veiled it. I am so excited to chirp and burp these looks. If you like a look, you can chirp it, Krem. And if you're not feeling it, you can burp it.
Okay.
So let's talk Monet Exchange giving birds of a feather fuck together.
Don't kill me. I'm going to burp it just for the fact that the veil was not a veil. Mm. It was a little scarf that she took off and then walked the rest of the runway without it. As a look on its own, if it was like a caged runway, amazing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think she looks fantastic. But as far as adhering to the theme, I feel like it was a pretty poor job at adhering to the theme.
Interesting. Yeah. I agree with you. Like, even if she just kept it on her face a little bit longer as she was walking and then revealed it, I think I would have liked it a little more.
Or had it been longer or like even attached to the cage or something. Yeah.
I'm still going to chirp it because I just kind of like the feathers of it. I like the heart shape. I like the wing hips. I like it. And for
it
once,
it
does look beautiful. Sometimes she has she picks a crazy shoe for her looks, but she picked a shoe that works for me. I would chirp it personally.
Listen, I'm a stickler for a theme, so it didn't suit my needs, but she looks beautiful for a runway theme.
Right. It left you saying, who the fuck is Feather? So next we have Shea Coulee doing an homage to her gardening grandmother in pleats, pleats, pleats.
I mean, this really says like gardening grandma. Like I feel like grandma who gardens.
Right.
And like she lives in the Hamptons, like she's rich. She has an herb garden that she tends to.
Kind of like not gray gardens, but hey gardens. Yeah.
She did a great job. I loved it. I thought she looks amazing. The bracelets I wasn't so fond of. I thought that they kind of detracted away from like the plates. Yeah. I wish she had just left it like flowy with it was a little distracting. If she had just done like a regular bangle, I feel like it would have been fine.
I agree, because I'm already thinking of how it was on another look. You know, it was on another look, and I'm kind of, it's distracting me.
Yeah, I thought about that too, and I was like, oh wait, she wore this for this look. And then, it became a distractor, but overall, beautiful.
Stunning, tailored, interesting, weird. She's clearly challenging herself, like, because like, it feels like she's taking very weird risks this season.
Yeah.
Because she's already done so many amazing shit on this runway.
Yeah, totally. I think she's definitely like elevated her look. This is like her vision.
Mm-hmm.
This look is also giving me a little Raja. She's like the grandma, like Larry, flowy queen.
It is.
Of the season. And I don't know. It's just so good. I love it.
It's really good. And the color combination shouldn't work, but it does.
It's very chic.
Yeah.
Very chic.
Chirp. I like it. I like it. I like it. Okay. Trinity the Tuck giving roses.
It gave me more cape than like veil or train. Mm-hmm. Like I would have liked to see something actually veiled over her face. Mm-hmm. So again, for like the theme, I'm going to burp it because it's coming out of her hair, but it should be over her face. Like, the fact that nobody did, like, a veil and then the reveal, like, kind of thing, like, took it out of their face.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's a Trinity look.
It's such a Trinity look. I would probably still chirp it. I mean, and again, Trinity is not my favorite in this competition, but God damn it. She keeps showing up and doing amazing shit.
She looks beautiful.
She looks beautiful.
Again, for the theme, I'm a burp it.
Okay. I'm Trinity. I'm plastic. Keep me away from toddlers under the age of 3. They'll choke on me. Haha.
Why are you so good at this?
I don't know. Next, we have coming to the stage, Raja.
I mean.
Wow. Giving magazine cover.
Chirp.
Isn't it fun that it also feels like kind of an America's Next Top Model wink, too?
Very that. The hints of blue, the metallic blue on the shoe and on the glove and like the little flecks in the veil are just so genius. It just like keeps it from being. I feel like if anybody else had done this look, then they would have done like a black shoe and a black glove. And it would have been like, wah, wah, wah. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. It would just have been flat.
Yeah, it would have been totally flat. But she knows how to add these elements in to make things pop. And I thought it was just so good.
And like usually like right in most, in a lot of fashion convention, right? It's like black and blue. No.
Yeah.
But then she said, guess what?
It looks, I mean, the fact that it was like a metallic and a sparkle kind of shine to it, it added, because had it been flat blue, it would not have worked.
Yes.
I think it looks fantastic. And the fact that she actually has the structured looking veil over her face as well. Like, I mean, it's just so good. It's so good.
It's so weird. And it's like, I don't even get the drapery. Like, the drapery is weird, yet, but giving us enough shape and cut out to give the silhouette still. Wow.
I just love it. It's like, it's perfect. Let me see you boot that, Violet.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they say. Oh, such a chirp. Maybe a caca. I don't know. We'll see. Jada giving the Lady of Westminster.
I do love that.
Winchester.
Yeah, the Winchester Mystery Woman.
Yes, Winchester Mystery. What do you
I
think?
Really love this. It's giving like very Spanish, like mansion, ghosts, like creeping through the hall. I do wish that she had like another prop besides the fan. Like, I would have loved to see her, because she mentioned like a woman like with a candelabra going through the halls. I would have liked to see her holding a candelabra with like the candles, because that would have made the character even more. I'm going to trip like she. This is an incredible silhouette, like the Spanish style like headpiece with the veil, the mourning look. It's such a callback to like that era of fashion, and I'm obsessed with like old Spanish, like Tudor and like revivals and like all that kind of like historical fashion, and I think she nailed it with this one.
It's stunning, it's gorgeous, it's looks wonderful, it's spooky, but I agree, yeah, maybe there's another one little spooky touch could take it over the edge. Incredible, definitely still a chirp.
Beautiful.
Next, Miss Evie Oddly.
I thought this was stunning. I mean, just the amount of work for the beading for this and then the pattern. I thought it was gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
it's so intricate. You can tell this took a really, really long time to make.
Yes.
It just looks expensive.
It looks expensive. It's giving me Sex and the City 2 North African moment. Hold the problematic. I do love it. It's really cool. It's so weird too.
It's so weird, but so, I don't know, like fancier than I am used to seeing Evie look.
Yeah.
In a way, but like in a way that's totally her. She's giving like expensive Evie. I love it.
Totally. Yeah. Wow. Gotta chirp it. So fun and weird. All these different beadage all over the damn place.
It's gorgeous.
Okay, Miss Jinx Monsoon.
I'm obsessed with the veil being held up by the little butterflies. I mean,
it's very Cinderella Sleeping Beauty.
It's very something that I feel like I would do personally.
Yeah, I could see that. You're kind of serving Snow White right now with your gorgeous makeup.
Oh my God, I get that a lot out of drag.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know Snow White or the movie The Love Witch? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's so cute. I don't know if the veil in the front of the face was as necessary because you already have the veil in the back being held up by the butterflies.
Right.
But I feel like she totally could have done without the one in the front. But otherwise, I love the look. I thought she looked amazing.
Yeah, maybe a little rip. Maybe why not take it off? Let us see your gorgeous makeup.
Yeah. A reveal would have been cute if she would have pulled that off. But she had the one in the back already, so I don't think she needed the front one.
It's quite tailored. You know, she is becoming the Bianca of this season where it's like, she's like, this is the dress I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
It looks good on her. It's just, you know, I don't know. No, it wasn't a surprise. It's still a chirp for me.
Yeah, I think she looks great in it. I think the color is really beautiful, and it's different from what we've seen Jinx in because she tends to stick to like jewel tones, I feel like.
Oh my God.
So the color was different. Seeing her in like a springy kind of look is different because she tends to go for like the Seattle girl dark grungy colors.
I just realized it's giving me Daphne's Wedding Day.
Oh my God, bury that. Yeah. See, now I like it even more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jinkies. And finally, the Vivian giving Bondage Bride.
I thought this was fine.
I thought it was fine too.
I wasn't like, no pun intended, gagged. ball gagged by this look, but
totally.
It was all right.
It left me strapped, wanting a little bit more.
It kind of reminded me of like this. It's like on the same vein as like her blue spike look. Same kind of like fetishy, which is like fine to have like an aesthetic, but it almost felt like a sister look to that versus like something different. Maybe because it was blue. I don't know. It was all right.
It was okay. I'm going to be mean and burp it. I just don't get it.
I would have preferred like the veil not have been wrapped around her head like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, she just kind of looked like a fruit basket.
Yeah, like definitely like a gift that you don't want. Something that's being
super right. Fresh.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. 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 It sounds like a merp.
A merp. Yeah.
And I think if she stayed, I mean, it made sense to me that like she could have been in the top two and then they weren't living maybe for this look. God, it already looks better with the thing off of her head.
It looks way better. If she had done just a regular veil and just the ball gag, it would have like probably been a burp for me.
Totally.
A chirp.
Yes. Yeah. It would have taken it to that next level.
Yeah.
Well, we get our critiques, we get our keys, and we find out that, oh my God, I almost forgot, Miss Nancy Pelosi shows up.
Oh my God.
Sure, Diva. No, we can move on.
We can move on. Let's move on.
We can move on.
We don't need to listen to Nancy Pelosi talk about values that she's not upholding, okay? Let's go.
Woo! I know, right? It's just like, in today's moment of performative wokeness, we have Nancy Pelosi wearing a dashiki.
Here comes Nancy Pelosi to talk to us about insider trading.
100%. Anyway. Yeah, let's not. And that's the burp of the episode.
Absolutely.
So we have our top two, Jinx and Raja, lip sync to a Lizzo song. What'd you think?
I thought it was a bad song choice for those two performers.
Like, terrible song choice for them.
They should have changed
Broadway.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a Broadway song. Else.
Yeah. I don't think people's critiques of Raja were great because a lot of them were like, she's giving Charlie Hides. And I'm like, first off, Charlie Hides like barely moved. Raja's like doing stuff and she has a facial expression. She's like trying to do something.
She's
like,
trying.
Think great? No, but I think the song was wrong for the artist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when it comes to like Drag Race, yeah, sure, like choose something that you don't know if they can pull off because you don't know what their abilities are. But the producers know what the abilities of these queens are. Like, please tailor the songs to them a little bit better.
100%.
Yeah.
Because they have a big song list. I don't know. Come on.
I mean,
help
something.
Them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
weird. Jinx did make it comedic and funny. She made me laugh a couple times.
Yeah.
She clearly won, I would say.
Yeah, but yeah. She's a clear winner.
But I love Raja, but yeah, I guess it's I'm still waiting to be proven wrong, but right now I just don't think Raja's the world's most prolific lip syncer, and that's fine.
I mean, had she been given something out of erotica,
album,
she's very slow, seductive kind of performer. She likes a slow moving kind of thing. Like I've seen her perform. She's in her element in a more
yeah,
down tempo, slow burn kind of song.
Yes. When she did Straight Up, she did Paula Abdul Straight Up on season 3,
yeah.
Her and Carmen Carrera. Mm-hmm. I thought she murdered that performance.
She did. She was also a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. As I'm becoming 30, all my bones are falling apart. So
absolutely.
I can't imagine what it'd be like to compete at almost 50 and how to do a
100
bouncy song that.
Lizzo song.
I know. I'm even now. I'm do I have the knees for that? Probably not. Let me take my osteoporosis medicine.
Oh my God. You need that Boniva. Free
that
Boniva.
My ortho, whatever. Yeah.
And just Miss Jinx wins and she decides to plunge. The Vivian. Did
no
you
surprise.
Think? No surprise. That's her comedy sister. She's mad about it. She doesn't want to see it.
I mean, the Vivian made the point to call out the fact that she was going to block Jinx had she had the chance. And it's nobody wanted, nobody made you say that.
Yeah.
Nobody forced you to say that. You said that out of your own free will. You can't be surprised that you got blocked.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't still, the strategy is still unfolding, right? Did she hope saying that would endear her to her? Like, girl, I love you so much. I'm intimidated by you. Did she think that would endear her to her or not? It clearly didn't work if that was the goal.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think for the stars that they get to give away, I had two theories.
Yes.
Okay, so my one theory is one of them might give it to Evie because Evie doesn't have any stars yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what if both of them give it to Evie because she doesn't have any stars yet and then Evie has two stars? Would that be a possibility? Let's take the safe choice. Let's even the playing field and give a star to Evie, but then they both choose to give the star.
That would be curious to see if they do it publicly or not, right?
Yeah. What if that was the case? That would be
crazy. Would be a gag.
What if Jinx gives a star to the Vivian?
Interesting.
Because it should be a blocker and then just a psych. Here's a star.
Yeah. Let's see.
That would be 9 games.
Everyone has a star now except Evie. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's safe to say Evie will get one because it's just smart strategy, saying, to give it to someone who's not in the lead. But yes, inevitably, someone is going to get their second star.
Yeah. Well, Jinx has two stars now, right?
Yeah, Jinx has two stars. That's correct.
So
someone else
is
about to get their second.
Unless they both give it to Evie. Would that be a possibility that she gets
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a public thing or not. If it's in the public eye, no. If they get to say, I'm saying it out loud. But if it's a survivor vote in a box situation, then who knows? You can't confer with who you're doing that to. If you have to pick another not as strong queen this season to give it to, who would you then strategically give it to if you're not going to give it to Evie?
That's a hard one because they're so strong.
They're really strong. I almost wanted to say Jada, but then I'm Jada's incredible, you know?
Yeah, And don't kill me for this, people, because I'm a huge, huge fan of hers. But maybe Shay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because she looks beautiful and she's been doing well the challenges, but she hasn't been blowing it out of the park as much as some of the other contestants. So she's almost seems to be fading back a little bit, but not fading back because she's beautiful and she's Shay and everybody loves her. But it's she's not getting as much attention so far.
Totally.
In my opinion. So she might be a safer option to give it to.
Yeah, maybe even Monet.
I was thinking Monet. also.
Incredible. She's incredible. But like, she's, you know, she's right on that bubble of, you know, giving those A's when sometimes people are going A plus plus plus.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, Jada has been doing incredible. So I'm not worried about her.
Her really. Runways are, like I said, favorite cumulative runway score. Gotta go with Jada.
She's been killing it. I'm in love with her. She's so just
she's incredible.
Adorable and funny and charismatic.
Sweet and sincere and she's great. Krem, I guess that brings us to the end. Remind us where we can support you on Instagram, Venmo, etc.
Yes, at Krem Fatale on Instagram, TikTok, Venmo, at Fatale underscore Krem on Twitter. Yes. If you want to tell Twitter to give me my account back, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
You can support me.
Amazing. Follow, look at all the looks and gags Krem is serving. And if you like other internet accounts, follow Drag Her Podcast on Instagram and give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast, Spotify. Give us those 5 stars, write some funny words. We'll read them live on the pod. They help us keep the lights on. So go do that. Go support gay stupidity, please. That's all the time we have, Krem. Krem, you're fucking amazing. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun. I love being able to talk about the episodes.
You were,
I hope none of you get mad at me.
You know,
you do and comment.
And if
anybody.
They do, guess what? Guess what, divas? Guess what, you stupid little fucks? We've been through worse pain than this, so this too shall pass.
I'm fat. You can't hurt me.
And on that note, let the music play. Oh, that got me good.
Was a HeadGum original.